me. Maybe sooner. Maybe later. It doesn't have to be like this.
You keep monologuing and I am gonna fucking kill you.
And then he starts monologuing. Like all good evil villains do.
Monologuing. Ugh.
I like how the nature of their powers and how they use them ties into personality traits, or like, you know, their proclivity for self-veneration.
What do you mean?
It's like, if you're an evil villain, then you're going to tend to monologue.
Yeah, but like Captain America monologues like a motherfucker. It's like, I'm going to save the day, but let me give you a little speech. Superman 2. Same shit. Like, here's your problem, evildoer. It's like fucking Dog the Bounty Hunter.
If only you weaklings realize that your only true course is to follow me blindly, why must you continue to resist?
See, your problem is you need to quit doing the drugs and get yourself a job and find Jesus. It's the exact same thing. It's like, it's whether it's Cobra Commander or Skeletor or Captain America or Dog the Bounty Hunter or... you know, parole officer.
Yeah.
Like, not so much parole officers. I think parole officers are kind of like, yeah, well, lost cause.
That's their job. All they do is monologue. They don't, like, you know, they don't go out and capture you, do they? Or do they? Because your parole officer is the person behind the desk that was like, all right, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to have.
Yeah. Like, they have, like, a terrible job. I've known one parole officer in my life, and he just hated life. Like, you could see it on his face. Every day was just like, oh, still me, huh? Shit. Like, it's like my personal trainer, the chick that used to be my personal trainer, great gal. Uh-huh. She was a really good personal trainer, but like she quit doing it. She went on to do something else because there's no way you can keep doing that every day, like telling people, hey, this is what you need to do. Like, this is exactly what you need to do. If you just do this, bam, yeah. You're good.
Yeah. Especially when it's like physical thing. It's not like, you know, there's no other, like if there's some kind of like mental thing, like you may not be sharing about what the mental thing is, so your therapist doesn't know exactly what's going on if you lie to that person, and like, you know, that's like, oh, I'll have to do this in order to, like, you know, try and get them out. But like for the physical trainers, it's like, if you exercise and eat right, then you'll be healthier.
Yeah, you'll get, you want to look like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. I can make that happen. Like,
yeah,
like
but you have to do the push-ups.
He didn't just look like that. Like, he had to do a lot of work every day for a long time to get there, and we can do that. Like, I can write you down a plan that will make you look like that. You just have to do what you're paying me to tell you to do.
Yes.
Again, same thing with the parole officer. Parole officer is like, okay, look, you can lead a normal life, become a productive member of society, take steps to put your past behind you and become a better person, you know, and your life will get notably easier.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to do these things that I'm going to tell you about.
Yeah,
and that's it. Like, just do these things.
Stop breaking the law, for one.
Yeah, stop breaking the law. That's a big one. Stop breaking the law. Maybe.
Don't hang out with the people that encourage you to break the law.
Yeah.
Because then you'll end up breaking the law.
That's two. And that makes one a lot easier. So two, yeah, quit hanging out with those people. One, stop breaking the law. Three, maybe stick to soft drugs. You know? Like, we're going to drug test you. I'm telling you that right now. Like, we are going to test your pee due to the fact that you got arrested with, you know, like 8 pounds of a pot in your car. So we're going to check your pee. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you we're going to do it and when we're going to do it. And you know what? I'll go ahead and throw in, if you drink water and cranberry juice for a week solid, we won't be able to tell. So if you can just go a week without smoking pot, before the date I'm going to give you, you'll pass that piece of cake.
It's just that.
Yeah, just do that. But no, they don't do it, James. They just don't. They're like, nah, fuck you. I'm going to do what I want.
And you'll pay the consequences.
Yeah. And that's why dentists kill themselves, James. Because, like, because
the people don't floss.
Yeah, it's
all
just.
All you have to do is floss. I didn't floss. Fuck.
Like, all day, they're just surrounded by decay and death and the end of everything. And they're just, stop doing that. Like, I know that I gave you coffee when you came in here. My dentist does that. My dentist has coffee and sodas in the waiting room.
Sodas.
And then when you leave, he's like, here, have a lollipop. It's only adults that he
sees. He only sees adults.
So, yeah, he only sees adults. So when you come in, he's like, here's some coffee. This will stain your teeth. Here's some sodas. This will eat them away. And then on your way out after I cleaned everything, I have some hard candy, which you shouldn't be eating.
That's how you
fuck you.
Well, that's how you like keep it in business. That's why. Yeah, you know, that's why my dentist's office was only open 4 days a week. He's like, I don't have to work on Mondays. Fuck that.
But yeah, so all day, you know, they're like, don't do that. Like, it's real easy. Just brush and floss. Don't brush after meals because you have all that acid in your mouth. But brush, you know, 2-3 times a day. That'd be great. Once a day. Just brush once a day and floss once a day. We'll be fine. Maybe use a mouthwash. Piece of cake. Thank you. And they come in like 6 months later and they're all full of cavities. And you're just like, oh my God, nothing I'm doing is working. I can't quit because it took me 4 fucking ever to become Mr. Dentist. That DDS behind my name that I have to keep explaining to everyone, that means dentist. God damn it. Yeah.
Doctor, I can't just, dental science, yes.
Yeah, I can't walk away from that. It's not like I'm a parole officer. So I guess I'll kill myself. Dentists and florists. I think those are the top two.
Florists?
Mm-hmm.
Was it because they get depressed because of the whole like cycle of the flower life? Like everything there around them like dies eventually?
Yeah, I guess. Which I guess we relate to dentistry again. You know, once again, yeah. It's a decay. It's a death. That's everything fall apart. But you don't hear about morticians killing themselves because they're just like, it's going to happen. I don't have to do it.
Well, yeah, like they're not around decay so much as like things that are already dead, you know?
Yeah.
And actually, I guess, you know, like, you know, they could still like talk to people and be like, hey, you know, and just, you know, never have anybody talk back. And they could do unspeakable things to those bodies when nobody's looking. I think if I were a mortician, I would take many liberties. Like, I would secretly, you know, stuff some of the bodies full of pretzels or something. Or, that's like also a good place to, like, hide if you're, like, if you rob a bank and you can put, like, thousands of dollars inside of a dead corpse. And, like, you know, no one's ever going to look at it there. Look for it there.
Ha!
The only reason that you would exhume a body is for, like, you know, evidence in a capital crime. And, like, if it's just a bank robbery, then, you know, you can hide all the goods in the coffin or the bodies, you know, inside the bodies.
James, I think you stumbled on something brilliant.
Maybe. Now I'm never going to trust a mortician because, like, I know what I would do if I were in their spot, so.
You shouldn't. They sell organs and stuff. There's that one guy that was selling bones to bone marrow banks. And like putting PVC pipes and stuff in the legs to fill it in. Like putting the bodies back together. And like the black market organ trade is crazy.
Yeah, I imagine so. I mean, because, you know, there's people like getting thrown into tubs full of ice, you know, as a byproduct of that. So it's got to be, you know, people have got to be desperate in there or got to be really in, what do you call it, motivated.
Yeah, dude, a kidney goes for like 15 grand.
Hey, shh. I would sell somebody else's kidney for 15 grand.
Like, that's what you get it for from, like, the guy. Like, he's going to buy it from some dude in, like, Pakistan or India or China for, like, $500.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you $500 for a kidney, dude. You got two, and then he'll sell it to you for 15 grand or plus.
Yeah. There's
tons of people need fucking kidneys.
Because I guess, if it's, you know, like American organs would probably go for much higher. So you'd probably pay like $5,000 for an American organ, which is probably why they prefer to go, you know, to import them.
It's easier to trace an American organ.
Yeah.
Those Hammond B3s, those are huge. Oh, James.
Oh, Nick.
Hey, welcome Nick. To Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And I'm Nick Moore, and you're listening to Dork.
You are indeed.
Episode 110. Yeah, I don't know if you noticed when you were monologuing. I whipped my hat off really fast because it's a hat that I use just for recording the podcast. It's one I made I made this hat at my nephew's birthday party. So it says Wild Stallions on it.
Like Wild Stallions rules.
Yeah, it's got the font and everything, just like the one on their garage. Yeah, so I keep it in here. It stays here in the murder shop when I'm not using it or I'm not recording. And then I come here and I put the hat on, and then I put my headphone on.
Yes, because the hat protects your head from the other side of the headphone that doesn't have a phone on it.
Correct. So I have the hat on, and I feel I'm talking to you for, I don't know, how long has it been? Like 10 minutes? Yeah, about 10 minutes. I've been talking to you, and I feel my forehead wiggling.
Uh-oh.
I was like, well, oh, that's probably not very good. Whatever that is. So I whip my hat off really quick. It's these asshole moths, James.
Oh, geez. You're still having
the moth itself. It has a larva.
Ugh.
It's either during, you know, because they're all like hibernating, but it's starting to warm up, and so they're moving around again. I have to nuke these motherfuckers.
Yeah, nuke them for more of it. That's the only way to be sure.
Yeah. Torch the shop.
Well, I'm sorry you're having. Are those? Would those? If they're moth larvae, would they be caterpillars? They're in the category of caterpillars?
They're not that big. They're really tiny. Like, these are, like, pepper moths, I think? No, not pepper moths. Those are the ones from the fucking the natural selection thing. No, I don't know what they're called. They're little bitty tiny asshole moths.
I like how you sound like Father Guido Sarducci when you talk about them.
There's a little bitty tiny asshole moth. oh, I hate these son of a bitch. Yeah, dude, they suck. They're tenacious little turd burglars. I think what I'm going to have to do is get rid of this rug. I got a rug in here, my desk, like in the office section of my shop.
It is so tasty to them.
Say what?
It's a tasty rug to them.
Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think if I get rid of the rug, it might get rid of them. It was at one time a very valuable rug. It is not anymore. They ate the shit out of it.
No, that's just the way with all things.
Yeah, everything goes. Just ask a dentist or a fitness instructor or a florist.
Or a florist, yes.
Or a parole officer. How was your Easter, James, thinking of things that die?
Oh, it was pretty good. We went to Jane's parents' house, and had Easter dinner, and then we played strategy games. Wait. Yeah, we played strategy games for all. We played Orléans, which I don't know if I've talked about that one before.
You have not. What is that?
It's a what was it? It's like kind of like Monopoly for medieval France, except it's a lot more complicated. It took Jane, the first time we played, about 45 minutes to read the instructions to the people that were going to be playing. So, and again, it took about, you know, 40 minutes to read, because like even though three of us had played before, her dad was playing with us and he hadn't played before, so she had to explain all the rules to him, and that took another more than a half hour.
Jeez and Pete's.
Well, you know, it's like one of those things where first one we played, it was like 9:30 at night, and we'd like had a full day, and she was reading this, and like me and her brother Frank were, you know, like listening and like fading off, and but listening and like trying to keep track of all this, and she kept saying like, you know, we don't have to do this tonight. We can just, you know, and we're like, no, we'll give it a shot. You know, we'll play maybe a couple of rounds. And you know, when you get to the instruction where it says, all right, a game consists of 18 rounds, and each round consists of 7 phases, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my god, there's no way we're gonna play this. But you know, once you like you realize in those 7 phases, one of them is flip over this card, and the next one's like do your thing, and the next one's like do what the card tells you. And it's not like that big a deal. But it's really intricate and complicated. But once you get into it, it's really easy to play. I mean, there's a few different things you have to keep track of. But like we were like 3 rounds in, and she was like, all right, you guys want to call it? And you know, it's getting kind of late. And we were like, fuck no, we're playing this through. So it was really cool. You can do things like, you know, I could tell you like how every step works, but that would take a while. But it was interesting because you like travel these roads and you build guild halls and you can earn followers, and those followers can be like farmers or merchants or craftsmen, and each follower gives you a different bonus, and you can use those to do other things. And you know, I've figured out a strategy that I'm not going to tell you in case I happen to wind up playing some other people that are going to be playing against me that are listening to this podcast right now. So, but yeah, I definitely recommend it. It's called Orléans, spelled like Orleans with a little accent on the E.
James, your explanation of that game mm-hmm. makes me not want to play any board game ever. Like, I don't, like, sorry, Chutes and Ladders, Candyland, no. Fuck that shit.
There are people who, exactly what I said, the exact thing that turns you off to it is the exact thing that makes them go, ooh.
Oh, I know. Dude, two of the guys that I play D&D with are big gamers. I mean, big. They have a table. The reason we play D&D at their house just for games. They bought this huge table just because they have people over all the time to play games. One of their friends is a couple that they play games with all the time. It's two couples, and they get together and play games all the time, like serious, crazy fucking games. Like, they invited Carol and I over once to play games with them and have dinner, and we wanted to die. Like, we played three different games, and each one of them was this super intricate, heavily ruled base with, like, 40 different cards and, like, pieces and shit. And we're just like, fuck this. This is like a goddamn job. But they, like, the couple that they play with all the time, he makes games. Like, he just had a game that somebody purchased that is getting published.
Ooh.
It's like one of those crazy card-based. Dude, I'm buying a copy from him when it comes out. So I will give it to you so you can take it to your fellow masochists.
Yeah. Well, we have friends that we play board games with, and some of them, if it's going to be like a heavy strategy board game, then like some of them are like, I'm not going to show up that night. And then like some of them, like, that's what they live for. Like Jane lives for like all of them. She's, you know, it's like no matter what quote game night it is, if it's strategy game night or like, you know, trivia game night or like regular board game night, she's in. And I'm in too, because if she's in, I'm probably in. Although I'm, there's some that I'm less enthusiastic about, but trivia night, like, you know, like people have threatened, or the last time they were like, why don't we all play against James? Like, we're on one team and James is on another team. I mean, I'm not saying that I know a whole bunch of stuff. I just know more than these people.
Trivia. Like, I can handle trivia because you can drink while you do it. If you're playing a video, a game, like, but if you're playing like a strategy game, you need to be sober.
Yeah.
And you're going to be there like for 4 hours, so you don't want to fall asleep on the fucking table. No. Like, I just, well, it's like one, time. You might as well ask me if I want to have a child. You're like, well, hey, you want to sit down and play this game? And I'm thinking to myself, God damn, 18 years. It's going to be here for 18 years. And I got to send it to school, and it's going to get sick. Like, no.
Well, the good thing about Orléans is, like, there are 18 turns, period. Because, like, there's 18 little cards, and you flip one over at the beginning of each turn. So you know exactly how much time you have left and how much – or not exactly time, but, like, how many turns you have left. So you have a very good idea of how long it's going to take to get through the rest of the game. And you have, yeah, like, when there's, like, three or four turns left, it's like, oh, I need to start doing this to make sure I have enough points there. So
yeah, but you said it was 18 turns.
18 turns, seven phases each.
That's 126 phases.
Yeah, but like
the I don't want 126 of anything, James.
Okay, like, if you shuffle a deck of cards twice, that's 120 mm-hmm. or 104 of something. I'm just saying, because like technically, like the one of those phases is just flipping over the card.
If you told me to shuffle a deck of cards 126 times, I would throw them in your face and leave.
Well, if I told you to do that, I would deserve it.
And technically, you only have to shuffle a deck of cards once.
Yeah.
I mean, you've created something that's never existed before.
Well, statistically speaking, that's most likely, but it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, well, you do it.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm not a huge board game fan. Like, it just seems like I know the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm not going to be enjoying it. I'm going to be like, I could be doing something else. And I know the point is, like, I play Dungeons & Dragons once a month.
Like, oh, well, Dungeons & Dragons is different.
It's and I sit at a table for at least 6 hours. Like, that's my day. That's like a work day. I'm playing Dungeons & Dragons a chunk of time. And I'm okay with it. But if you're like, hey, let's play Monopoly for 6 hours. Even if it's the same group of people, Or let's play a board game. It's going to be cool. It's like Dungeons and Dragons. Is it Dungeons and Dragons? No. Okay, fuck off. Maybe do that for 6 hours.
Okay, well, no game of Orléans has lasted 6 hours. They're like an hour and a half, basically.
Hour and a half?
But, yeah, but like...
still too long. I got 2 episodes of Blacklist, James.
Hey, it's... but you get to strategize. And when, like, especially when, you know, there's certain people at the table where you're like, I'm going to beat this motherfucker if it's the last thing I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I get it. There's certainly a market. Like, there's everybody listening that's into it is not like, oh, Nick doesn't like those things. Fuck that. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying not for me. Not for me. Thank you.
And there, I mean, there are some, like, it took me a while to get into Dominion, and I still wouldn't say I'm into it. But, you know, I can, like, handle myself. But I never expect to win at that because of the way that the points are accumulated. With Orléans, like, you accumulate points no matter what you're doing. Like, no matter what you're doing, something in what you're doing will get you points at the end. With Dominion, you have to, like, most of your strategy is based around doing certain things, and then you also have to think about getting points.
See, I guess if the theme of the game is something I get into, like, there is one that I do like playing called Arkham Horror.
Oh, the H.P. Lovecraft thing?
Uh-huh. And it's got, like, there's the main game, which takes up a whole table. And then there are, like, 8 expansions. Each of them is a whole box that adds on to the main board. And it's just huge and adds more and more things to it. And you're not guaranteed to win. Like, you're playing as a team against the game. And the game can beat you. And so, because I like the premise and the lore and all that, I enjoy that. But when you're like, this is like Monopoly, but about Orleans, France. Oh.
Yeah, but I have never played a game of Monopoly through to fruition. Because it's possible for, like, you know, things to, like, ebb and flow, and, like, you know, the idea is, like, for somebody to have all the money, right? Is that what the idea is? You have to have a Monopoly or to own all the stuff? But, like, you can, like, gain stuff and then lose stuff and then gain stuff and then lose stuff. And so
I don't think that's the point of it, though.
I don't know what the point is of it because I've never played the entire thing, not by the rules anyway.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever finished it because I was reading it might have been a BuzzFeed thing that popped up. It was like, hey, there's a way to win Monopoly, and here's according to the rules, this is how you do it. And it's not like owning everything because I don't think that's possible.
Well, why is it called Monopoly? Just, the idea isn't to, like, you know, have a Monopoly.
Oh, I think it's like you build up enough of a Monopoly to, you know, crush your competitors.
Crush your enemies.
Which, ironically, is why the lady made the game. Because she's like, I want to show people how awful all these monopolies are. People are like, this is fun.
I can pretend like I'm rich.
Ha-ha, I own the steel industry. Fuck you all.
Yeah, forget that there's a depression happening.
And then a guy stole the idea from her and sold it. Made millions.
And that is the American dream.
Yes. So what did you eat for Easter?
Jane made a veggie pot pie. There was a roast of some sort that we got from the Couturier's butcher from the farmer's market. And some vegetable things.
Yeah, that's a good butcher.
Oh, yeah.
We got bacon and beef bacon from them.
Beef bacon?
And ground beef. Yes, beef bacon is like Spam. But, like, they take all the beef cuttings, like the everything is left off after they cut the main bits of meat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like, you know, noses and assholes. It's like
little it's good cuts.
Yeah, it's like little bits, and they put all that together and, like, make it into like a brick and then slice it thin. It is delicious. Like on a sandwich or something like that. It's fantastic. The guy, we'd never heard of it, so we just bought a pound. And
yeah,
we were very happy with it.
This is Raymond Couturier and his folks at the Baton Rouge Farmers Market.
Mm-hmm. I can't go back.
I know. I mean, that's the only place that we actually buy meat, basically.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, it's not factory farmed or anything. So, and it sounds like we're making a commercial right now, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I can't go back to, like, prepackaged crap. Like, I've always been a little snooty about beef in particular. But it's just so different. And the eggs, like, we bought eggs at the farmer's market. I was like, fuck yeah. These are, what the hell have I been eating?
Oh, yeah.
These are like real eggs. And lamb?
Yeah.
And turnips? Well, the turnips were in season.
Turnips were in season, yeah.
And Carol made them, and they were delicious. So, yeah, I'm a convert, man.
Well, good.
But we had a fried turkey.
A fried turkey?
Yeah, we went over to my brother-in-law's house, which is also my sister's house.
Is that how he got to be your brother-in-law? He, like, married your sister?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'll have to write it down later and look at it.
Okay. He's not your first cousin once removed or anything?
I don't know.
That'd be weird. Anyway, go ahead. Fried turkey at your brother and brother-in-law and sister's house.
Yeah. So yeah, we had that. Carol sent a picture of it to her parents, or to her dad. I was like, yeah, we had a fried turkey. And he's like, that's weird. Because normally they have a ham or lamb.
Okay, I understand lamb. I've never had lamb for Easter, but I understand why one would, given the whole, you know, Christian overtones.
Mm-hmm.
And Easter ham makes sense. I've had Easter ham.
Mm-hmm.
But why do you just not have a turkey? Is it
because
just
her whole life, that's all they did. Easter is like ham or lamb. I don't know what it's going to be. They had lamb.
Ham or lamb.
Which is bullshit because she doesn't like lamb. And I love lamb. So we never have it. Unless I just make it for me. But I always feel bad because, you know, I'm like, well, what are you going to eat? She's like, oh, mac and cheese or whatever. And I don't, you know, like I'm cooking. Just eat.
Yeah.
But that's not the point.
Fried turkey.
So Carol made a lamb cake. Like it's a little pound cake, but it baked in a lamb-shaped cast iron mold that she got from her great-grandmother.
Oh.
And then she frosted it to look realistically like a lamb. So it looked like a little lamb about the size of a shoebox with realistic textured wool and a face that she painted on using food coloring.
Okay.
It looked like a lamb.
It looked like a lamb.
And then we took it over to my brother-in-law's house, and then we cut pieces of it off. This was not weird to her. Like, I was like, baby, this is weird. We're going to bring this in. This is a little lamb. Like, this, there's going to be comments.
Your sister's name isn't Mary, huh?
No.
Okay.
And Carol had a little lamb, and she wanted people to eat it. And it's not just like a me thing. Like, it's a delicious cake. You know, don't get me wrong. It was one of the best fucking pound cakes I've ever had. She added, like, there was between the cake and the frosting, there was 2 pounds of butter in the thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. And like, you know, she shaved lemon and orange zest into it to give it a little bit of oomph. It was a fantastic cake. Mm. That is not my point. It looked like a realistic little baby lamb. Again, I'm not against taking a lamb and cutting its throat if I'm gonna eat it. Fine. But to slowly eat a lamb from the back end forward while it smiles at me is weird. So there was a good deal of it left.
Just the front half?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, let's say the back legs, like we only ate like the ass of the thing. There were still like little bits of its legs and stuff. So since she cut the butt off before she started making slices so that the slices were flat on both sides, she put the back on. So it just looked like she had shortened it a little. So I brought, because the guys in my office will eat anything if you leave it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so I put it in there, touching it, because it's still got the head on. And so I'm sitting there looking at this thing, and like one of the Chinese guys comes in, and I'm like, hey, Wei Bing, you want to try this cake? And he's like, oh, maybe if you take off head. I was like, oh, you mean to decapitate it? He's like, yeah, take off head, it makes not so creepy.
Not so creepy. Make it not so creepy.
I was like, okay, so I cut the head off, and he's like, oh, yeah. Within an hour, it was gone. And somebody took the head. I don't know who. Somebody took the head to their desk and ate it.
Oh. I wonder what was going through their mind as they did that. They were just like, oh, whatever, you know, it's just food, whatever. Or they're like playing around with it, going like, I have finally conquered you, Captain Sheep.
My arch enemy, at last, it is you and I, the man and the sheep.
I'm going to scoop out your head and drink coffee from your brain.
We did have coffee. It was very nice.
Oh, yeah.
Well, nice. The lamb.
Cuckoo, ca-choo. I don't know why I said that.
Do you know anybody that eats rabbit on Easter?
On Easter? No, yeah. Not particularly. I mean, I know people that eat rabbit from time to time. I mean, my mom has served me rabbit before. But I've never known anyone to associate consuming rabbit with the Easter holiday.
I'm fine with it. I love rabbit. But
unless you count chocolate rabbit.
Mm.
In which case, everybody.
Oh, speaking of weird rabbit associations, apparently some channel was showing Watership Down on Easter.
What?
The cartoon, yeah.
Oh, wow. We've talked about this.
Yeah, it's up on Hulu now. But apparently people are like, yeah, rabbits, Easter.
No. Woo-hoo. No. No. If anything, that it like creates its own religion that is so much not Christian. With like Elephara and like the black rabbit of death. I mean, that has nothing to do with Jesus and the apostles and the dying and the coming back. Like, oh, Jesus is dead. He's like BRB, man. No.
What's up?
Say it again.
What's up?
What's up? You know,
they make a lot of
Raptor Jesus.
They make a lot of a big deal about how, you know, they showed up and the stone was rolled away. Didn't somebody have to roll the stone into place?
Yeah. So this shouldn't be amazing.
Yeah. That should be the one part where you're like, ah, no big.
Yeah.
Footsteps coming out. Ah, ha, now we're talking.
Yes. If I were Jesus, I would have been like, I'm just going to fuck with everybody and like hopped out on one foot.
Or like moonwalked out. It's these weird shuffling steps. He's a zombie! He's not a zombie. He's a lich.
Zombie! Zombie! Zombie!
You remember the great Carmack joke? I think that was his name, that Johnny Carson did.
Carnack,
yes. There was a show on Showtime called Bizarre with John Biner where he made a parody of that. And I remember specifically one where he put the envelope to his head and he goes, bunny farts. Bunny farts. And he opens the envelope and it says, what's invisible and smells like carrots?
That's pretty all. Good.
Yeah.
As far as the way, as far as that style of joke.
Sorry, I was thinking about it because I was playing Draw Something with my mom, and for some reason, the bunny was the thing I had to draw, and so I like played it. You know, I put blank farts and drew a picture of a rabbit, and she was like, "Oh, bunny, yeah." Bunny farts. So, the movie came out this past weekend.
Oh, did you see it?
Yes, I saw it. I saw it Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Oh.
Ah.
So I have not seen it yet, but I already know everything that happens in it.
Everything?
Yeah. Just because of internet
being
a thing. And I can't disconnect until I see it. That just doesn't work. And because it's been everywhere. It has saturated everything. So for our listeners that have not seen it, James, as unspoilery as you can be, what were your thoughts?
I guess I was entertained, but I was overall disappointed with how everything came together or did not come together, as I should say. There were some, my big thing is like, I tell people like the more you are familiar with the characters, the more you'll be disappointed with it. Like if you come in just having a vague idea of who Batman and Superman are, which is kind of hard in this, you know, universe, you'll be like, oh, okay, well, there's some, you know, these are things that are happening, and that's interesting. The whole Jimmy Olsen thing was kind of weird that I didn't even realize until way later. And the pacing was just really, really odd, and I can't even explain it. Like, one thing that really infuriated me about it, at one point late in the movie, a timer is set. And you know when, like, you know, a timer is set, and the, like, people are like, oh, crap, you know, we've got 60 minutes to get this done. That's got to happen. And, like, that's all you're thinking about. And then they go off and they show, like, what this person's doing, and they're, like, sitting down at a computer and, like, searching these files and, like, doing it in a very leisurely, like, oh, this is interesting kind of manner. So, but, yeah, my main thing is, like, you know, like, Ben Affleck does a really good job with the script they gave him, like, but, like, he does a lot of very un-Batman things, I think. But he did a really good job as Batman, I thought. I thought he was a really good Batman, which I didn't necessarily expect for him to be, like, you know, better than, you know, George Clooney, per se. But, you know, I definitely put him above Clooney or Kilmer.
So it's like Snyder took the characters and was like, okay, these are guys that do this. They have these abilities, and this is kind of their backstory, and then just do whatever the fuck you wanted.
Yeah, like the whole, like, Batman and his idea about protecting human life, he's not, let's just say he's not as, you know, married to that idea in general as he usually is in most of the interpretations of Batman.
Gotcha.
And he doesn't. I'm also surprised there wasn't, like, a Batman theme, like a motif in the soundtrack. Like, every time Batman was around, you should have heard, like, yeah, or something. You know, that sounds more like Pitfall Harry's theme. But yes, like, even, like, you know, I don't know why they couldn't have been able to use the same music that they did in one of the other previous Batman movies, like the Christopher Nolan, like, I can't even do it. But yeah, like the one you did, because you did the one from the Michael Keaton movies, didn't you? Now I recognize it.
And animated series. It was in both.
Yes. Yeah, because Danny Elfman wrote the...
fucking fantastic.
Yeah, because Danny Elfman wrote all that. He wrote the soundtracks for the 89 and 92 Batman movies, and also the opening theme for the animated series.
See, that should be the Batman music forever. Like, if you're not going to use that, then you have to do na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
epic or symphonic version of that, like an orchestral version of that.
Yeah.
Boom! And he like explodes out of a wall or something.
Yeah, that would have been cool. And then for Superman, it's always got to be the Superman music.
Yeah.
That's very Superman.
Yeah.
Like you hear that, you're like, hey, that's Superman. And
yeah. They chose to ignore Superman at the end.
Yeah. If Zack Snyder's listening to that, if he's got that in his fucking headphones while he's directing it, it'll be right. Because you can't not do soundtrack. Dun, da, da. That should be Superman every time he lands. It's like, oh, it's Superman. Awesome. Not, it's Superman. I should punch him again.
And that's
I don't have a problem with that.
That's the thing. Like they were like so intent on like recreating Superman's story that they eliminated elements of it that make Superman Superman. You know, like you can tell Batman's story. You can, you know, have Batman come to be in different ways or have him trained in different ways. But, you know, if you mess with like the particular incident, like the way that his parents died or like that his parents died and, you know, by a random crime, basically, then you're messing with what motivates him in general. They didn't do that in this. I mean, they were true to the, you know, his becoming Batman as far as that's concerned. But like the whole Superman thing, it doesn't come across. Like, you know, his parents like raised him in such a way and like that doesn't come across. And like, so all through this movie, when the world can't make up its mind about how bad they think Superman is or how good he is, you know, at the end when things are happening, like you don't know why the world would necessarily feel the way it does at the end of the movie. We're not doing a spoiler cast yet. But anyway. But yeah, and fucking Lex Luthor, what the fuck? Like, I was
open. So it didn't get better?
Like, the Lex Luthor thing?
Yeah.
No. Lex Luthor was so, got on my nerves so much. Like, the idea of, like, maybe it's just, like, you know, every time I think of him, he's, like, wearing a business suit, and he's got a bald head, and he's, like, you know, totally in control, but yeah. He never shows any part of his hand. Even if he's showing part of his hand, you don't know that he's showing part of his hand, and, you know, but he was, like, so manic. And it just got on my nerves so much. It got on my nerves because it wasn't very Lex Luthor-ish, and it got on my nerves because it was just fucking basically objectively nerve-wracking. So, yeah, I was not pleased with the Lex Luthor at all. Wonder Woman was cool, though.
That seems to be the general consensus.
Yeah, and she had her own theme music. Like, she shows up, and it sounds like the soundtrack from 300, which, by the way, is another Zack Snyder movie. but, like, as soon as she, like, shows up in her regalia, I mean, she, you know, you see her a few times, like, just wearing, like, regular clothes or, like, you know, evening gowns. But, like, when she shows up as Wonder Woman, like, wearing the outfit and holding the shield and got the sword, you're like, and she's like, it's very, like, you know, like, 300 music. And I was like, okay. I'm behind this. This is cool.
At least that's salvageable.
Yeah.
And right after that weekend, last week, Gal Gadot has been doing a lot of like Wonder Woman press. Like saying Wonder Woman that you're going to see will be a little bit different than the one in the film. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get her story and all this stuff. Like I'm hoping that DC like looks at all this shit and goes, "Oh, they wanted a comic book movie? Shit, yes,
we wanted a comic movie.
We didn't realize that. Somebody read the comics. Let's get in there, find some stories."
Which is odd because Zack Snyder has made two movies that were basically graphic novels put on screen.
Yeah, Watchmen was like I think there were like three pages that were not dead on in the movie. Is Jane there? Hey, Jane!
No!
I like how she said, no. Jane there? No.
I didn't say anything.
That's Jane, somebody breaks into your house and they go, and you're hiding, and somebody goes, are you home? And you go, no! It's not how it works, Jane. You gotta be sneakier than that.
That's exactly how it works.
Anyway, did you need something, Jane?
No, I just wanted to laugh at you for a minute.
Why?
Why what? Just why?
Why, James? What happened?
Did anyway,
she just come over to mock you?
Yes, she just came over to mock me. Thank you very much.
Oh, no.
Well, she was laughing at me one time because when I posted something about the Superman versus Batman movie, or Batman versus Superman movie, one of my friends was like, well, you know, it's all screwed up because if Superman's flying faster than the speed of light, then he's going to, like, destroy everything around him just because of the... And I saw this on Facebook, and I was like, I'm about to nerd out so hard on this guy. And I had made the mistake of saying that out loud near Jane, and she was just like, oh, you're crazy. It was so funny.
I think Carol does that shit to me. Like,
Carol, Sailor Moon fan Carol?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's how it happens. Like, we'll be out in a let's say a party. We'll be in a social situation where there are a bunch of guys. Jane, there'll be a social situation where there are a bunch of guys I don't know. All right, and so there will inevitably start talking about sports. Right now, I don't know a lot about sports, but I work with a lot of guys who are really into sports, so I know enough about sports to bullshit my way through a sports conversation, and just I'm in a room with a bunch of people I don't know. It's kind of awkward, you know. I'll just chat with them so we can get through this moment, and I'll leave and go do whatever I do, and then they'll leave and do whatever they do, and we'll never have to talk to each other again. But for right now, just to make things socially comfortable, I will say the one or two things I know about the particular sporting event at hand and then move on. And so we'll be talking sports. And Carol will come up and go, you don't know sports. What the hell are you talking about? I'm like,
busted. What? Why are you even participating in this conversation?
Why are you? It's like I'm robbing a bank. And I don't have a gun. I have my hand in my pocket. And it's pointed at the teller. And I'm like, give me everything you got. And they're just shoveling money. And I got the cop, like, he's put his gun on the floor and he's got his back to me. And they're just shoveling it in. No dye packs. No dye packs. And they're shoveling it all in the bag. And then Carol comes in and she's like, you don't have a gun. What are you doing? You don't have
Stop
a gun.
It.
Stop with that. Why? Just that's your hand. That's your hand. You left the gun in the car and it's not even loaded. So that's what that is, except with sports.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there with my beer in front of these guys who thought moments ago, they thought, oh, he knows sports. He's one of us. It's cool. We'll just talk. And now they're looking at me like I just farted. Loud and wet. Like, but I didn't fart. I'm the same guy that was there a moment before. I've just been outed. like, well, I guess now's the time for me to put my glasses back on so you can all kick me in the ass. Let's talk about video games and D&D.
This is why I do this podcast with Nick.
It's cool, James. It's a safe space.
We should have a woman podcast? Oh, woman on the podcast. Sorry, Nick was talking at the same time. We should have a woman on the podcast.
Did you tell her I had a woman on the podcast last week?
No, because then she might want to listen, and then she'll listen to the other ones that we actually – it's just me and you, and then she'll find out everything I've said. That's not what we said. She wants to do an episode.
Oh, yeah?
She's like, that's not what I said!
Well,
she wants to, even though that's not what she said. She wants to.
What is she doing now?
She's got a call with the Nobody's Nola people or something.
No. Like, what is her job? What does she do?
Oh, she is the managing director for the Plastic Pollution Coalition, which is a coalition against plastic pollution. It's not pro plastic pollution.
I don't think I can do a podcast that's called Let's Dork About the Anti-Plastic Pollution Coalition. That would be a long hour.
She could dork about a bunch of other things, though.
What's she dorky about?
What would you like to dork about? You who are like standing on an awkward distance from me, looking at me. You came back out here and just staring at me.
So I don't know if dorking. Can he hear me? By the way,
I can hear you.
I don't know if dorking requires me to know stuff about like science fiction or comic books or fantasy or movies. Like, can't we dork out about something that's not necessarily that?
Yeah, we've done about
the podcast. You never listen ever. Ever. You've never listened to an episode.
Yeah, we've done like medicine and
I did. I talked to a doctor. I talked to a guy who was a former drug addict about like drugs and like what that was like, and you know, moving on past that, and what, you know, like addiction in general. We've talked about we did one with Sunny about knives. I don't know, Sunny, about just toys and stuff in general. So it's when I have people on that aren't James, we talk about whatever their particular thing.
We talk about cool stuff when James isn't here. That's what he's saying.
Obviously. Well, James and I, when James and I get together, it's us letting the valve off of, you know, it's like I need to fix because I spent all day in an office full of guys who talk sports. So right. Once a week, I got to talk to James to just go like, hey, man, it's cool. We're still here.
Still here. Well, so I don't know anything about sports. So whatever we would talk about, it would not be about sports. We could dork out about American presidents. We could dork
Supreme
out about
Court.
The Supreme Court. We could. Am I not supposed to say fuck?
You can say whatever the fuck you want.
Good. I don't know what the rules are on your fucking podcast.
Oh, now it's open. I don't know. You're like a vegetarian, aren't you?
I am like a vegetarian, yes.
But you're not a full-on vegetarian.
Right, because like I was saying earlier, we eat the food that the Coutures makes at the market because it's not factory farmed.
Right. I have current concerns about the ecological impacts of factory farming, so I try not to eat that shit.
I do too, but I don't... Oh, wow, this is about to go a whole place. I was talking to you earlier. We started going to Coutures, right? Mm-hmm. It's awesome.
Because they're delicious.
It's fantastic. I love their beef bacon. But the thing is, I don't do it going, man, this is totally screwing those guys in Chicago. That's going to stop them. What it is get me a better steak. Like,
yeah.
It's a way better steak. And I can tell the cow died happy.
Right.
And I feel a little bit better. Like, you can't – like, cows and chickens, like, you see the factory floor, and you're like, oh, wow, that's rough. Pigs are what really get me.
Yeah.
Pigs, that's they're the most really depressing smart. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've met a few that had a personality.
Well, and, you know, like, pigs have personalities. They're really smart. And also, if they're afraid before they die, it releases a chemical into the meat, which actually makes it less quality, makes it taste less good. And so actually, like, keeping pigs in a space where they're stressed out and horrified their entire lives makes for less good food and less happy pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I'm all for, like, a certain thing, but I don't, you know, I was talking to Carol about it. Like, we're eating the best burgers we've ever had because it was that ground beef from those guys. I'm like, oh, this is delicious. And she's like, yeah, I wish more people did this. And then we know if we're about factory farm. I'm like, baby, do you know how many people eat beef and chicken every day? Like, it's just, it's the way it goes. So I don't know how, like, I have another friend that's a big proponent. He's full vegan. Like, he doesn't, you know, he doesn't eat any meat.
Yeah.
And a big part of it, he's big anti-factory farming. But the thing is, he's always preaching to the choir. Like, he's always talking, he's like, this is terrible. Everybody's like, yeah, it is. But.
This burger? Yeah.
Yeah, there's.
I mean, but the issue with finding somebody like Coutures or another local farmer that's just as good is getting them to scale is actually going to undermine what it is that you like about them. So yeah. If you know, when you say, like, I wish more people did this, to a certain extent, I do, but I don't, because I wish more people cared about the environment because I want farming to be environmentally sound, but I don't want those people eating from my farmer, because then my farmer is going to have to scale up and then he's going to have to start
factory farming, essentially.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Hey, Jane.
What?
You just dorked for like 5 minutes.
Wow. Honey, I dork all the time, just not technically recorded by you.
Haha!
No, recorded by me. I have secret files. I'll share them with you. I'm kidding. Gee whiz. The look of horror on her face.
And with that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
I'm Jane Patton.
And you've been dorked.
You've been dorked.
You've been dorked. I said it. I said you've been dorked.
Yes.
Never. Just let it go, Jane.
She's in this part of my life now.
You got to let it happen. Well, Carol's done like four of the shows. Carol's done four whole shows. I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about the moon. I guess you'll have to listen to at least one episode to find out.
Yeah.
Later, Jane. Here comes the music. The music's building up behind us right now. You can't hear it because I put it on in the bed. But it's here it comes. Bye, folks.
storm.